Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast presented by VSiN, the Sports Betting Network. Coming up on the show, Mike Sando of The Athletic will join us. His annual quarterback tiers column is out. It's fantastic. He surveys 50 coaches, executives throughout the league and spits out rankings. He's got a bunch of great quotes, so I encourage everyone to go to The Athletic and check out that column. I think it's free. It's open to read. It's not behind a paywall like so many things are these days. Every time you want to take a look at something, you feel like it's, you know, you got to pay for this, register for that. But his column is excellent. And I'll actually start with that. I want to get some thoughts on some baseball. Quick thought on the Westbrook retirement, because I was hosting the show Wednesday with Femi Abenfe on VSiN, and we had some fun with that because we disagreed. So give me some baseball thoughts, a bet or two, and get to Westbrook in a second. But again, I encourage everyone to go and check out the column. And he has it divided into tiers. It's his whole thing of, you know, splitting it into tiers. So I'm not going to spoil the whole thing, but he also does do a ranking of one through, and he goes all the way to 35. Who's a tier one? Who's a tier two? Who's a tier three? And tier four is the bottom. And some of the quotes are even more interesting than the lists. I know, you know, everybody loves lists and rankings, and that's what makes it fun. There's a little bit of something for everybody. He still had Mahomes one, Allen two, Stafford actually tied with Allen for two, Burrow fourth, and that's tier one. Tier two is Lamar Jackson at five, Justin Herbert at six, Prescott at seven, May at eight, Goff at nine, Love at 10. And one of the ones that jumped out to me that was not in the top 10 was Jalen Hurts at 17, which I think about him and back and forth on him. You think he's really good, and you think maybe, you know what, he's just on a really good team. He's more of a product of not just the system, but being on pretty much an all-star team. He's flawed. And every time I feel like I've made up my mind, I get convinced the other way. But Hurts at 17 seems crazy. I just think, you know, top of my head without writing the names down or listing anything out, I think, I don't know, 10, 12, 8, in the top 10-ish range. But you look at 17, and with him at 17, the couple guys around him, Nix is right behind him, Rodgers right behind him, Stroud's right behind him. The guys in front of him, Daniels at 13, Mayfield at 14. I'd probably rather have Hurts than Mayfield, but it's close. Darnold is tied with Mayfield at 14, and Lawrence is 16, directly ahead of him. Would you rather have Lawrence or Hurts? Would you rather have Darnold or Hurts? Would you rather have Baker, Mayfield, or Hurts? I'd rather have Daniels, I think, than Hurts. But, I mean, Hurts has played in two Super Bowls. He's won one. He's won an MVP in another. I was doing the show with Femi on Wednesday. He's like, man, Jared Goff is 8. And Hurts is 17. Like, who would you rather have in a big game? It's just tough because every big game we've ever seen Hurts in, he's got a running game and a defense and good receivers and just everything around him. But I did think Hurts on 17 was a little low. So we'll get Mike's thoughts on that. And it's just any other controversies. But again, the list is about where you think these guys are, but it is fun to just kind of see them listed out. And we all have these little barroom debates about who belongs where, who's underrated, who's overrated. Some of the quotes were interesting, though. One of the guys had actually, again, there's 50 voters. And 49 had Mahomes tier one. I mean, who wouldn't have tiers? Who wouldn't have Mahomes tier one? Except one guy didn't. One guy had Mahomes tier two. He said, can't carry the team like he used to. And I believe this was the same guy. He said, if you look at his body, and I actually noticed this a little bit last year too, Mahomes has gotten a little bit chubby. His upper body is just kind of there. His legs are okay, but they diagnosed his body as saying he's got to get in better shape and stronger and just more physically fit because he's fallen off physically. I had not heard that. I had noticed it a little bit. You see some of the pictures, and you don't know what's real and what's not anymore when you see these pictures on the internet and what's AI, what's doctored, all that stuff that's photoshopped. And it's just, it's a nightmare trying to figure out sometimes what's real and what's not. But I thought that was an interesting quote. And Mahomes, even though he's one right now, and I mean, it's hard not to put him one with all the Super Bowls and all the championships, and he's basically, until last year, every year he was either winning a Super Bowl, playing for a Super Bowl, or coming damn close, losing in the AFC title game, you know, pretty much in overtime. Would you rather have him or Allen for the next 3 years, 5 years, where Allen just feels indestructible, hasn't had the playoff success, Mahomes has more of the resume, but it's just interesting, all these questions that you kind of ask. The other thing that was interesting, too, one, and it's one out of 50, and yes, 50 people, anything, you're going to get some strange answers. One out of 50 actually had Rodgers still as a tier one. Aaron Rodgers saying, hey, he wins with his mind. He can still throw it. Would you rather have him or this guy? And he brought up all these other guys. He goes, I'd rather have Rodgers. And I believe he brought up Hurts as the guy he'd rather have him over. So It's an interesting article. The column, the list, just the quotes. It's fun to go back and just see what people in the league collecting a paycheck think about all of these different guys. So encourage everyone to check that out. And we'll talk to Mike coming up in a second. Couple things quickly. Baseball, big series this weekend, AL Central, White Sox and Tigers. White Sox odds on to win the division minus 115. They lost on Thursday. Tigers are plus 400. They won on Thursday. These teams will meet for three games in Detroit. And you have the White Sox odds on, the Tigers, the Twins, and the Guardians, all in that plus 400, plus 500 range to win the division. I actually think the Tigers are very live. I know Valdez didn't pitch a good game for them Wednesday. I was on the Tigers, but Troy Melton looks like a top of the rotation guy. Jackson Job is a guy who was a third or fourth pick in the draft a few years ago. He's back. He's healthy. Valdez has been a top of the rotation guy his whole career. And that lineup is really good. Riley Green is out. That's a big loss, but their run differential is tremendous. I just don't know if I trust the White Sox to hang on. They did get a well-pitched game on Wednesday from Luis Castillo, who maybe, you know, they've discovered something there. He's been a great pitcher, at least a really good pitcher his whole career. Struggled this year with the Mariners, but sometimes these guys get a new change of scenery, a new team, and these teams just tinker with the delivery, the pitch mix, and they can unlock something. Maybe the White Sox and Castillo, 7 shutout innings, 10 Ks, was outstanding. Threw the changeup a lot more. This is a fascinating series here in the AL Central, and I think Detroit at plus 400 is extremely live to come back and overtake the White Sox. And it starts here. Hey, you get swept. I mean, we're at the point of the season where these games and every game out of 162 means the same. All of that, the game on opening day means the same as a game in September. All of those sayings are true. But this is the point where these are really high leverage games, and we enter play on Friday here with Detroit 2.5 back, 3 in the loss column. So if Detroit wins, if Detroit sweeps here at home, which look, crazier things have happened than Detroit sweeping the White Sox in their home ballpark here. Detroit hosting. Detroit's now 60-61, one game under with a plus 90 run differential, which is crazy. Detroit will be in first place, you know, late Sunday night, early Sunday evening. So that's a fun series to keep an eye on. And I know it looks like they're about to lose here on Thursday. The NL Central, the Cubs, I think, are very live to not only catch Milwaukee, and they enter play a full 3 games out, and it looks like they're going to be 3.5 games out by the time you listen to this, Washington beating up on them. Cubs are 13-1, or were 13-1 entering Thursday. You probably get a better number after the expected loss here on Thursday. 13-1, 15-1 to be the one seed. Atlanta has 48 losses. The vaunted Dodgers have 48 losses. The Cubs have 50. And Milwaukee's got 47. The Cubs have 50, probably going to be 51. And they play Milwaukee 7 times. They play the Braves 3 times. Other than that, the schedule's not impossible. Gausman got roughed up in the 5th inning, and Holmes was not good his first start out as a Cub. I think the Cubs in that 13, 15, 16-1 range to be the one seed. The numbers flipped, or the numbers sank on them, I should say, to win the whole thing in that 12-1 range. I think the Cubs are a very good team, a very balanced team, and I think futures on them are good investments. So we'll keep an eye on that. They play the Brewers here 7 times between now and September 8th. So a lot's going to be decided on the field. Now, you can't expect to win all 7. You can't even expect to go 6-1, but can you go 5-2 and pretty much wipe out that deficit? I don't think that's unreasonable. Milwaukee has not been great recently here. They've 5-5 in the last 10. They've lost 3 in a row entering play on Thursday, and they get the Dodgers this weekend. So I think the Cubs are a team you buy on right now. The one seed, the World Series, and the National League should be a favorite over it. I mean, you can make the case, and Jeff Parles made it the other day. 3 or 4 best teams in the whole league are in the National League. So if you think they got a chance to get to the World Series, which they clearly do, probably just take them to win the whole thing and get the bigger payout. So high on the Tigers. That's an interesting series this week against the White Sox and Cubs. One seed Cubs win the whole thing, I think, are bets that are worth making. We'll get to Mike Sando in 1 second, but I was shocked. Russell Westbrook retires, 18-year career, man. It's just, it does make you feel old. You see some of these old pictures with Westbrook, Derrick Rose, John Wall, some of these guys, Curry, and Curry's the only one left. There was one other guy too. And just, man, you remember when these guys were in college, you remember when they were drafted, and it just flies by. Very polarizing player, because on one hand, Westbrook, no doubt about it, first ballot Hall of Famer. On the other hand, when he was your best player, man, you were not winning a damn thing. When Durant left, and that's a theme around Westbrook, he played with so many great players, and they all wanted no piece of staying with him for very long. Durant left. He played with LeBron and Davis. They wanted him off the team sooner rather than later. He played with Paul George. Paul George was third in MVP. No, Paul George isn't on that level. Paul George wanted to get away. He played with Jokic. He played with not only Durant, but Durant and Harden, and then Harden the second time. He played with Kawhi. He's played with so many great players. He never won a damn thing. It just never seemed like what Westbrook was doing. I know he played hard, and people admire that aspect of it. I get it. He played hard, and I think he played hard more so when he had the ball than on defense, because a lot of the film guys will say, you know what, he could get lost off the ball, and the effort off the ball was not as great. When he had the ball, yeah, he was a little, early in his career, he was a little like Adrian Peterson, where he was just a force of nature, so fast, so strong, he would go downhill, and he'd just, you know, bring that power to the rim. It'd be impossible to stop. But when Durant left, 17, 18, and 19, those 3 years where he was the best player in OKC, they lost in the first round all 3 years. One of the years they were the higher seed to Utah, they lost. He had Paul George on his team. And that's a hell of a one, too. If you think Westbrook's a great player and he's playing with all these great players, it's remarkable that he didn't win more. It was a lot of empty calories. It was a lot of stat chasing. I know, nine All-NBAs, nine All-Stars. He won an MVP. Was never my favorite guy. Felt a little out of control. Felt, you know, basically unhinged sometimes, playing with just his style. And I remember going on Gil's show, going on a numbers game, and I talked about this, I think, on this podcast. Kings under wins last year was a play for me, just based solely on the fact that Westbrook was on the team and Westbrook was going to play. He never felt like a winning player. He's a guy, you know, people like the highlights, people like that. He stuffed the box score, the triple doubles, just was never my favorite player. But he's going to retire. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame. Everybody makes an Hall of Fame, but can't argue with nine All-NBAs. Not two of them, only two of them were first team, but it's interesting how polarizing Westbrook is, where on one hand, you have to admit he's a Hall of Famer, but on the other hand, man, if he's your best player, you are not winning anything. And if you look at the last 7-8 years of his career, he was on a new team pretty much every year. Once OKC got rid of him to Houston, he went quickly from Houston to the Lakers. And the Lakers, by the way, that destroyed their team, and it's amazing they traded for him, because they played against Westbrook and the Rockets in the playoffs, and they left him wide open. They said, you know what? Have all you want. All you can eat buffet, buddy. Shoot all you want. And they basically acted like he didn't exist when he had the ball on the perimeter. They let him shoot as much as he wanted. And then they traded for him, which was bizarre, and he destroyed any chance Davis and LeBron had for a second title, and LeBron deserves a lot of the blame for that. I mentioned that on his podcast before, but he went Rockets, then Lakers. Lakers had to give up assets to get rid of him, and there was a Wizards stint in between there. He was on the Clippers. He was on the Kings. He was on a million different teams. He was basically on a new team every year the last 7-8 years of his career. And if he's so great, why are these teams in such a hurry to get rid of him all these times? So, interesting player. You know, you talk to 10 people, you get 5 people on one side, 5 people on the other side in terms of Westbrook. And you can only argue so much, because he is going to be a Hall of Famer. But just it's very rare and very unique. The last thing on this, it's unique to say, you know, he's definitely going to the Hall of Fame. He's definitely a first ballot. But as far as having him on your team, I get when he was really young and really powerful and athletic, it's one thing, but not a guy I'm cutting in line to have on my team. And the results kind of bear that out. Never won anything. And when he was the best player, man, your team was not going past the first round. You're going to win 40-something games, and you were going to be out despite all of the video game stats. But let's talk Mike Sando. Let's talk to Mike Sando. Let's talk some quarterbacks. Let's get his thoughts here. What's right? What's wrong? Mike Sando loves to eat and loves to cook too. So I know Mike's been doing a million of these hits. We'll mix it up a little bit too, see what's on the menu in the Mike Sando household. But that'll be next. This is the Should've Bet More podcast. All right, we are back, and he is a busy man, and he's one of the best, but he's kind enough to join us right now. Catch him at The Athletic. He does a great job with the quarterback tiers and all of his football ready throughout the year. It is Mike Sando. Mike, always enjoy this column. Thanks for coming on. Not only do I enjoy it because I like reading it, but that means football is right around the corner, so I appreciate you doing this. Good to see you, man.
It does. It's kind of become a fun little, a signal that the season's just about here, so I like it too.
All right, let's get into it. Let's start at the top, because this is one, and you know, reading these comments, it's always so interesting. Mahomes is still one. You get the sense just reading between the lines. Some of it is just deference and respect for what he's done in the past, and how could you not have respect? Somebody did vote him as the second tier, and other people, I don't know if it was the same voter, pointing to his body. His body's not the same. His upper body's just kind of there, I think was the quote. He's got a little bit of a belly. So how much of this with Mahomes is, you know, looking back and what he's done and then projecting forward? What's kind of the consensus here and how much separates him and Allen 1 and 2?
Yeah, I don't think, I mean, look, if they were both up for the Hall of Fame, you had to pick one. I mean, I think Mahomes is going to get everyone's votes to go in first, right? His career is certainly beyond reproach. But I do feel like you could make the case that if we were just playing one game next week, that, you know, that the tougher matchup would be Josh Allen. Now, who do you trust over the course of the season or playoffs? You know, I think people still hold Mahomes in the highest regard. I don't think people think he's falling off necessarily physically. The comments about his physique and that sort of stuff, and I know it's kind of been a fun thing over the years, the dad bod and all that. The guy's obviously a great athlete because he runs, he's been running at a higher rate than before, and people aren't catching him, you know, for the most part. He's doing a great job. And so I'm sure he's working hard at it and he knows his body and all of that. But I think the point was that, hey, you're the second half of your career here, everyone's legs are not the same for going. Now you have an ACL, and let's face it, he doesn't look like, he could look, he may be getting in even better shape from that standpoint for the last half of his career, could serve him well. And I think when I think of that, I think of like lesser quarterbacks, you know, who were a little heavier, like Russell Wilson late in his career. The legs went, it was a harder game for him. Now Mahomes is a much better passer and a much better player. That's not a super comparison, but I think the idea that the game's going to get harder for you physically in the second half of your career is in people's minds.
If I held your feet to the fire and said yes or no, Mahomes will win another MVP the rest of his career or he won't, where would you go?
I would say that he will. You know, I think it's, I don't see some huge big fall off. I would think that he's going to play long enough to have the pieces around him that'll help him do that. You know, one of the points I think I mentioned in the piece, but I know it was mentioned to me by somebody I was talking to with who's been around a while, was just, you know, people writing off Joe Montana too, when he was, you know, not that they're writing off Mahomes, but Joe Montana had gone 1 and done 3 years in a row in the playoffs. And he was in his 30s. They lost 49-3 to the Giants in the playoffs. And he had a terrible back injury. And Steve Young was there. And people were like, you know, maybe it's time. And in the next few years, he won 2 Super Bowls and 2 MVPs. So I think that Mahomes is totally made of the right stuff. I think I would rather bet on him than against him still at this stage.
Yeah, and the one person who voted him too, and I made the point too, and you mentioned Montana, and that was brought up in the column. I brought it up the night they lost the Super Bowl to the Eagles. It feels like looking back, the Brady and the Patriots, they won it every year. There was a 10-year gap. 2004, they won it. They didn't win it again until 2014 in that miraculous game, the crazy ending against the Seahawks. So they went a while. I know they made a couple, and Brady was still good, and there were some MVPs and undefeated season in there. But I think there's this feeling that Brady just won it every year. They didn't. They won. There was a 10-year low, and I wonder if that lull with the Chiefs is, you know, 2 or 3 years, is it permanent? I don't know, but it'll be fun to.
It's just been harder. The offense has looked harder for them. You know, yes. I think that's the thing. Even though sometimes their rankings, like if you go to EPA per play and stuff, has still been good when he's out there. But it's just, you know, it's longer drives and harder work.
And the luck swung. The luck was so much in their favor 2 years ago when they were 15-1. Eventually 15-2. They punted on the final game in Denver. And they won so many one-score games. Then last year, they were on the wrong side of the one-score game. So maybe this year, it falls in the middle. A couple guys, to me, fall in the same category, different trajectories of their career, a few years apart. But Herbert and May, to me, have a lot in common just because you almost any time you just, you know, talking to, whether it's you talking to people in the league or you just, you know, we're having a conversation, Herbert, you talk about the regular season in one hand and they say, but, and there's always that ... but in the playoffs, he's been bad. I think you can throw Drake May where he was so great in the regular season, almost won an MVP. Maybe you can explain the youth. He was hurt, but how do people kind of parse that when you get Herbert and May so tremendous in the regular season, but there's a fall off in the playoffs? Small sample. There's reasons for it. Can you give me a thought or two on that?
Well, for May, for May, it's too early in his career to worry about that. It's not like it's happened 3 times. You know, I think for May, the playoffs were gravy in his second season. And, the rise that he had in his second season statistically and just in all the other ways is still what defines his second season. What happened late in the year, especially the Super Bowl, they just played a way better team. And I think he clearly was not 100%. I mean, I think he was injured. So no one's holding that against him. I think with Now, he could go backwards, though. I mean, he's one of the, sometimes these guys, we've seen it, you know, Trevor Lawrence or some of these guys, even Herbert, when they show something, let's say in their second year, and really they can make a jump. I think Derek Carr might have been in this category, you know, and guys suddenly push him up to the top 10. And then you sort of find it, oh, okay, that was a bump, not a signal of a long-term trajectory. So I think, you know, the jury is out on May, but it's leaning very positively. And people are not talking about him in the playoffs. I think you need multiple years of that to think, or actually have a team that people thought was going to be really good even. You know, people didn't even think that. So with Herbert, it's just been way more years of even his individual seasons haven't always been great. And, you know, the phrasing that I've kind of adopted on him is, at what point do the reasons for those things happening sound more like excuses? And there's a certain point where even if the reasons are good every year, why somebody doesn't achieve something that they think they should achieve, eventually they just say, I'm tired of hearing the reasons, but it just needs to happen, right? It should just have happened by now. And so you're getting some of that with Herbert, but he's still, I think he was sixth in this thing, and he's been right around there. He's very high in tier two. I think most of the, no one's writing him off. The biggest worry for him is probably he's just taking a lot of hits. You know, what's the cumulative effect of those hits on psychologically when you're playing? Can you feel as free? And then just physically too, he's had a lot of stuff that's, you know, he's played through or missed a game here or there, but he's been beat up.
And one guy you mentioned, you know, you take a couple steps forward and then you go backwards. Daniels, 13th, I believe, on this list, the Commanders quarterback. How much of it is concerned about his injuries? How much of it, I think this was kind of under-discussed a little bit last year. Mariota kind of outplayed him. You look at the stats, Mariota was at least like his equal last year. What were sort of the thoughts on Daniels? Does he go back to what he was as a rookie? Is it more the Stroud trajectory where he falls, and that was maybe a little bit of that fool's gold? But I don't know, where do people come down? Where do you come down on
Daniels? Yeah, I think people are still more optimistic on him. I think there's, you know, for me personally, I'm not sold necessarily on their setup to support him and win. Now they lose Laremy Tunsil as well. So, you know, I still think highly of Jaden Daniels. I think he showed it as a rookie. It wasn't just running around, which, you know, comes and goes. It was a good passer too. And to take that franchise to championship game in your rookie year, I mean, that's impressive. He checked all the boxes. So, you know, last year, I think the injuries, no doubt, and he didn't play as well for whatever reason. Now, sometimes too, the second year of that Cliff Kingsbury scheme, right? We've heard that. So I think last year's just a little bit too many moving parts. He was only out there 7 games, I think 7 starts. He was 2-5 as a starter. It does make you wonder and think, but I don't think the jury comes back. I think you still need to see the rest of this play out, and that includes this coming season.
Jalen Hurts at 17 feels a little low. Obviously, last year, you know, the previous year coming off a Super Bowl, anytime a guy wins a Super Bowl, it's like, you know, you can't put anyone ahead of him. He's a winner, all this stuff. I've gone back and forth on Hurts a bunch of different times. Coming out wasn't high. I was wrong. Then thought maybe I was right. How many different opinions did you hear on Jalen Hurts? And what do you think is fair, not fair? The scheme, you know, his style doesn't want to run as much. Can you give me a thought on Hurts?
Yeah, I feel like he's okay where he's at. I mean, look, I would have no problem. He's one spot below Trevor Lawrence. I'd no problem putting him above Lawrence. It's very close. But as you go up the list, like, who's trading their quarterback for Jalen Hurts, who's above that? You know, would the Bucs give up Mayfield? I don't think so. Maybe, you know, I doubt it. Would Seattle give up Darnold? I don't think so. Jaden Daniels, no. Caleb, no. Purdy, no. Jordan Love, no. Goff, I don't think so. Drake May, Dak, no. And then we're getting up to the top, you know, Lamar's and Justin Herbert's obviously not tier one, not. So, you know, even below Jalen Hurts, would Denver give up Bo Nix for Jalen Hurts?
Probably not.
Probably Split not. Hairs. Would the Steelers would trade Aaron Rodgers for him just from the age. CJ Stroud, would Houston give up Stroud for Hurts? I think they'd roll with Stroud. And you start getting down into tier three where it's okay, now you're into Daniel Jones, Bryce Young, Kyler. You know, those guys, maybe you would rather have Hurts. And to me, what that tells you is maybe Hurts is in the right spot, even though there's a gap between that spot and the two Super Bowls that he's been in, and one of them that he was the MVP for, you know. So I think the voters have done a decent job of sort of parsing out the fact that when it comes down to it, what is it about Jalen Hurts' game that you love?
Yeah, it's more of an intangible. He can run. It just feels like, you know, it's
tough.
He's been Yeah, tough. Seems like a good leader. Seems like a good kid. Smart. Again, all this is intangibles. And
big moments. He's done well. You know, all of that type of stuff.
You put him on the Jets. Is that going to translate? And he's going to make them a 10-win team? Probably not. But it seems like, and sometimes you have this in basketball and these other sports, you put him on a good team and his skills get accentuated and he looks better. But that, I mean, you could say that about a lot of quarterbacks. I just think it's interesting.
And he's at the bottom of tier two on the borderline of two and three. You know, I think when you get into tier three, it's a lot of that. You know, the guy really needs it to be good around him. And really probably even the second half of tier two is a little bit like that too, you know? So I'm fine with where he's at, but I totally understand if I was Jalen Hurts, I'd be looking at it going, what have these guys done? Right. Look at my resume. And I think that's fair. Yeah. I just don't think most people agree with it.
Of all the people you talked to, all the comments, what was the thing that's like the most surprising? Wow, I can't believe this guy said that or thinks that. There's always one or two, right?
Well, we got you always get outlier votes. I mean, I think Aaron Rodgers getting one tier one vote from, you know, is a little bit silly. But I get it. It's like someone else who's been around for a while and just has so much respect for him and maybe doesn't want to. I should look if that guy's even playing on this year. You know, was he like, I don't want to jinx myself here. You know, that it all evens out with the 50 votes. I thought that was interesting. You know, I thought that the conversation around Tyler Shuck of New Orleans was very interesting because the people, most of the league just gave him a tier four, which is kind of not enough information, you know, but the people who played him were a lot higher on him. So I kind of circled him in that draft class. If you look at that draft class of quarterbacks, you know, like it wouldn't surprise me at the end of this next year if he was the top of that, of those guys. That wouldn't shock me at all, just sort of based on everything was so positive on him from the people who played him. But not many people played him, so he didn't go that high.
Talking to people throughout the league, do you get the sense Murray in Minnesota is a good fit? I know there's concerns he's always with his size, staying on the field, all the video game stuff, which maybe it's in the past, but that's a pretty good situation. It reminds me a little bit of Darnold 2 years ago, and they went 9-8 with pretty bad quarterback play last year. What's your sense here talking to people throughout the league, Murray, how he fits in Minnesota?
Yeah, well, I think he's an upgrade. I don't know about the fit. You know, I mean, the fit is, I don't think anyone is looking for Kyler Murray, really, right? You're not like, hey, I would love to have a really small, short quarterback who can run around but gets hurt and just hasn't been consistent over the course of his career, and there's questions about his work ethic, right? That wouldn't be what you'd be looking for. Now, can he be better than he's been in Arizona? Absolutely. I mean, let's just set aside anything that the quarterback can control. He's been with bottom five defensive support for years. His record has suffered tremendously for that, his win-loss record. And he's had way less support than other quarterbacks. Well, what are the places that have had the greatest support from your defense? Minnesota. Like you said, they went 9-8 last year almost without a quarterback. So, you know, the fit, I don't know. Has Kevin O'Connell had a kind of scrambling, you know, off-schedule quarterback? Not really. Is that his style of guy? Probably not really. But, you know, would you rather probably have him than just bet everything on J.J. McCarthy right now? Yes. So I'm anxious to see how it works, what his health is, but I don't necessarily, like, I wouldn't bet on that he's going to be their quarterback for multiple years either.
Just your opinion here. We could put aside the quarterbacks for a second. Anyone you think is going to be way better than most people think, way worse than most people think? Do you have a sleeper team? Give me a thought or two.
I mentioned Tyler Shuck. I think New Orleans will be interesting. I think they still have flaws, you know, on their team, but I think offensively, they could be pretty good. I'm just going to look through the list here. You know, I still have quite a few question marks on Jackson Dart. I know there's been a big lean into the new coaching staff there and excitement and Dart and all of that. But I think his ability to, you know, protect his body and willingness to do so is a big question mark there. And no one's really been able to win there consistently. So I think we'll find out. I think John Harbaugh's a good coach, but he was also in a very good organization with Baltimore. So now he goes to a place that isn't as good, in my opinion, with a quarterback who doesn't look to me like he can stay healthy. So that's one that I think, we'll see how that goes, even though I agree there should be some optimism because it is a fresh start and Dart has talent.
Not very often can you say a Super Bowl winning team is flying under the radar, kind of a sleeper. I keep bringing up Denver in 2016 when Peyton Manning retired, I guess 2015 to 2016. I know you're from that area. Boy, it seems like Seattle, and I'm not picking them to repeat or even win the division or anything. I just find it interesting that Seattle, people kind of take that Super Bowl title and say, all right, good job, you know, had a nice year, but, you know, Pitt lost to the Rams. Rams are better this year. How do you think Seattle does here defending their title?
Well, I mean, this is, you know, I think you can make a case that what if Seattle's the best coach team in the division? And now you say, oh my gosh, you got Kyle Shanahan and Sean McVay, but I'm only saying that because I think Mike McDonald's really good. I do. And he doesn't have the track record. But man, to come in from a place like Seattle where Pete Carroll really had it going and then it just fell off and they were a bottom five defense that kept getting worse every year for years. He comes in, they're immediately good on defense. And then they become great on defense. And then he has a vision for what they want to do offensively. So, you know, I think they're a really good team. Now, would I pick the field over them to win the Super Bowl? Of course, I do that for any team. But I think the excitement around the Rams for some of the moves they've made and the perception by them and probably a lot of people that the Rams were probably the best team in the league last season, it feeds into that. And it's not entirely, you know, unreasonable. I mean, I think the Rams could have been, you know, the best team last year. They, you know, if they just played offense and defense, they probably would have gone to the Super Bowl. You know, but they play special teams too, and when you give up touchdowns in big games, or you muff kicks in close games, you know you're going to lose.
Who do you think Cleveland plays at quarterback? Does it matter? Is there any hope Watson has some sort of redemption? Can Sanders give him some kind of? I think the skill's getting a little better there. They're always pretty feisty defense, especially at home. You know, Lamar maybe losing a step. Burrow's always hurt. I don't know that Rodgers. In that division, like eventually the Steelers voodoo magic runs out. I keep trying to make a case that Cleveland could be better. I just don't know what they're going to get at quarterback. Do you have a sense of that or not?
I agree. I would think that if you're going to go this far of the offseason trying to do something with Deshaun Watson, just give him a last try and then you can bench him. You know, I don't think you want to go the whole season with Shadur Sanders. It may not even be fair to him as a young player. I wouldn't do that. He wasn't brought in to be the starter. So you can always go to him and go to him with a little less pressure on him. As opposed to, he's our guy, and then he's got to be good, and everything's a referendum every week. Maybe you do Deshaun, even though I have no faith in him being, you know, at this point turning it around. You've got a new coach. He's a new offensive coach. If he feels that, you know, Deshaun has a chance, then do that. And the other guy's going to play, too. There's no way their starting quarterback's going to go 17 starts.
All right, Mike, this was fun. What have you, you cook anything good recently? Any cooking tips you want to part with?
Cooking? Yeah, let's see. We went to a Brazilian steakhouse last night, so man, I'm still recovering. But
what'd you get?
Let's see. So I live in the Northwest, and you know, around here, the big Copper River salmon run. You can pay. I don't even know what it is. It's probably 50, 60 bucks a pound for this Copper River salmon, right? I go to my guy, Tacoma Boys around here. It's a 24-hour kind of a little bit higher end. You know, supermarket, and I get this Norwegian steelhead, and it's like $16 a pound instead of $60 a pound, and I prefer it, and I don't even put anything really on it. You could sprinkle a little dill on there or whatever, but I've got a charcoal grill, and I get the lump charcoal, like mesquite, get it going, and, you know, you can put it down on there with the skin, which is going to insulate it from the fire and it's not going to get super burned. And then I'll flip it after a while. And I'm kind of taking the spatula about halfway underneath it and just lifting to see the bend. Cause you want to peek in there. You want to get that nice translucent sort of medium. A lot of people with fish, you know, think, oh my gosh, it's got to be real well done. No, you want it to be about medium. And so you're looking for that right amount of bend and you kind of peek in there. You can tell if it's mushy, it's not done. If it's just got that little translucence in there, man, it is so good. You don't need anything on it. And that's just one of my real treats of the summer around here. So if you can get yourself some Norwegian steelhead, it's not super expensive relative to some of the other meats now, especially if you tried to buy beef. You know, 16 a pound for something that's so good for you is a nice treat.
What are you a smoker guy?
I have a smoker too, yeah. I did about six pretty good-sized pork butts recently for... my wife was going to volunteer at a camp. She prepares a lot of the foods there. My my sister runs a camp for autistic families. And so she went down and did that and brought all that. And that was a pretty big hit. And of course, I kept some of it here for myself too. So love some pulled pork and do that. We do brisket on there, periodically. The briskets are so expensive now, you know, that it's, you're going to spend $100 for a brisket. And
oh yeah,
I don't know, it's a lot. The pork is a better price. I also have a Blackstone too. So I've got my deck, you know, you're really navigating, a lot of different things. We like to do my wife makes homemade sourdough. So we will leave that out and slice it up overnight and then batter it and make French toast on the Blackstone. Really good. You can put it in a Ziploc bag and it'll keep, and you just drop it in the toaster, you know, to get it a little crunched up or to get it a little hot. Amazing.
Your deck sounds like my deck. I've got all of these things too. And yeah, it's which golf club to use, which pitch to throw. Because
yeah, what's the latest thing you've done?
Nothing adventurous. Nothing adventurous. I've got to try the, what did you say it was? It was a spearhead?
Steelhead. Steelhead is a kind of salmon fish. Steelhead.
Okay. I don't know here. I mean, I'm in the Northeast, so.
Northeast. Well, you're closer to Norway than I am. See if you can get some Norwegian steelhead.
I'm looking it up right now.
Yeah, just see if you can get some. I love it.
So it's more like a trout.
Yeah, but it's like a salmon.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to me, I prefer it to some of the other salmons that we get around here that are way more expensive.
Yeah. Mike, on that note, I appreciate it. This was great. Let everyone know where we can find your stuff.
Absolutely. You can find me at theathletic.com and certainly on X at SandoNFL.
All right, rate, review, subscribe. That'll do it. Thank you to Mike Sando. Thank you guys for listening. We'll be back on Monday. See you then.